A pious man approached his rabbi and asked, what was the best way for him to get to paradise? The rabbi told him, it is a threefold way. He must feed the hungry, comfort the sick, and bury the dead. And on his way home from the synagogue, the pious man encountered a hungry beggar, and he gladly brought him home to feed him. But he overfed him, and he became sick, and he gave him medicine, but it was the wrong medicine. And so he died, and he took the poor beggar to the cemetery and buried him. And then on the way back, the foolish man realized he thought that he had fulfilled all three of the commands of his rabbi. And so he thanked God for making it so easy to enter the paradise that he sought. It's unfortunate, but I'm afraid that we too today think that we are capable of taking the easy way out in Lent. And so possibly the joke is on us, because God does ask more of us than we might think, since he has called us to be his covenant people. And though it is true that our God is always the first to forgive our sins and to have compassion upon us and our weakness, nevertheless, our God does expect a real, heartfelt response to the gifts that he'd given us. He does expect some kind of growth in our spirit, not just some kind of occasional kind word, or just a daily good deed. When Lent returns each year, the question that we ask, how do I make a good Lent, means indirectly, how do I find my way to paradise? And our traditional ancient answer of the church is always threefold: prayer and fasting and almsgiving. And so, like our Jewish friend, we too are tempted to find the answer to be very simple and too easy. For some people, giving alms still means only putting leftover coins in the basket, not understanding that that is a childish response. An adult response is different. It is sacrificial. It is not extra change, but it is an understanding that our generosity is to reflect, not something left over, but it is to be heartfelt, wholesome. When we fast, it doesn't mean that as a result we become difficult to live with. It doesn't mean that we rejoice in becoming thinner in weight. But it means that we give the savings from what we save in our own fasting to those who are already thin from malnutrition. And that leaves praying. Many people do have good practices of prayer during Lent. Above all, a deeper understanding of the Passover mystery that we celebrate during each of the Lenten Sundays. The rich readings of Holy Scripture for our nourishment. Listening to the words of the prophets, Isaiah, Amos, and the rest of them. And understanding now that they are in English, that they are to be lived and not just listened to. That they are nourishing, but also to be incorporated into our lives of flesh and blood. And the bread of life. To understand that all of this, the word and the bread, are intended to lead us more deeply into community life and not out of that kind of life. To recognize that during this holy season, one of the ancient traditions of the church is to pray and meditate on the scripture of the passion and sufferings of Jesus Christ. And to understand that we should recognize it is not something that happened long ago, historically, but to understand that Jesus suffers today in all of humanity with which he identifies himself. The Word of God is intended in Lent and every other Sunday not only as a consolation, but as a cutting edge, a call to action, to do something as a result of hearing the Word of God. Share your bread with the hungry. That's how the early Christians insisted they would find Jesus in the breaking of the bread, which for them is another name for the Eucharist or Holy Mass, the breaking of the bread. And it is also when we break bread to feed other people's hungry situation that we celebrate the Eucharist. That is why in these past Sundays we have heard the words of the prophets who told us that when we do these things, then the glory of the Lord will surround us. The darkness and the gloom will turn into light. That it is then that we discover that God is in those actions. When we give of our generosity to those who have less. The Eucharist is all week long, not just when we sit here. That's why today it is so tragic that people still think that they break bread and enjoy the Eucharist and find Jesus only when they come here. That they still do not understand. The breaking bread, the Eucharist, is also when we feed another person's hunger. We deny the real presence of Christ in ourselves and in other people when we deny his presence in the poor, all those who have less than we do. In early days, people were shielded from the misery of other people. They were only statistics at best. Today, we are a global village. And through communications, those people who are starving stand now in our living rooms and dining rooms. Television has brought us their hungry faces, swollen bellies, so that we understand better than ever that our human community lacks its proper supply of food. The question is, what do we as a Christian family, people, do about it during Lent? Even though we so often might feel powerless, that we might ourselves feel poor, pressed upon ourselves, unemployed. Nevertheless, it is true that it is a common statistic that perhaps our own garbage pails show that we waste food. Physicians today tell us that up to 50% of what we eat is wasted if we consider the food that makes us overweight. The goal of fasting in Lent is not a goal which is an end in itself. We fast so that what we save in ourselves is given to those who have less than we do. That is why, in the middle of Lent, we have the collection for the Catholic overseas for those who are hungry and homeless. We, in the last several weeks, have been told to take seriously the words of the prophets, that we are indeed a people with whom our God has made a covenant, a friendship bond. And those prophets, Isaiah and Amos, told us there was something we have to do. They told us how the covenant people of long ago were acting out empty rituals. They would fast. They would mortify themselves, but it was empty. They were indifferent to the poor. They were not concerned about all those people who were victims of injustice. The prophets then understood that our God has made a covenant with us. When he said, I will be their God and you shall be my people. It is the breaking of the covenant. It's a kind of breaking of a family bond. It's a religious apostasy. Whenever we cut off whole sections of God's people from our concern, and all people are God's people, it's a long-lived temptation. When the prophet said, do not turn your back on your own. Yet today, in our own day, we have heard the words of that slogan, that phrase, that is found in the ghetto, in the clan, in the race. He is not one of our own. He's not one of our own. After all of these centuries, the living God is still waiting patiently, trying to help us understand that our neighbor is every man. That whenever we see the faces of the hungry and the homeless, the bodies of the naked in Africa and Asia or anywhere, they are each one of them. They are our own.